I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Welcome to the podcast. We can't reveal exactly what I'm talking about, but we just learnt something that our producer, Aaron,
oh my gosh,
has believed his entire life.
He hasn't even read any of the books.
You know,
he didn't even know who Mr. Twit was the other day.
It's part of our new game, I Like to Movie, which is going to play. Let's play the show now.
Okay, yes.
So that we can talk about it.
Yeah, okay, go.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Good morning.
Happy hump day, everybody.
Now,
midweek, Sarah, what have you got for me?
Well, I thought I'd bring a little bit of French culture into it just for you.
Amazing.
Because for any new listeners out there, Lise is actually French. And wherever we can, we try and just inject a little bit of the motherland the show to make her feel like we do have more culture than a tub of yogurt. Now, today, I bring to you Garfield phones that have been washing up on the beaches of France for 3 decades. Yes, that's right. Since the mid-1980s, orange and black cat phones. Remember the popular Garfield comment?
Landlines.
Those gimmicky ones. You know, you used to be able to pick up a hamburger and call someone.
Yes, I remember. They were my dream as a teenager.
Absolutely. And Garfield was the shiz back then.
Yeah.
So, for 30-odd years, these phones have been washing up on beaches. And it's been a mystery as to what the hell has been going on and where they're coming from. Well, the mystery's been solved because one of the airlines has sourced an old shipping container that was in a rocky cave. At low tide, they went in and they found Garfield phones around it.
Wow.
The container itself is empty, so there will still be Garfield phones washing up on the northwestern beaches of France for years to come.
That's an incredible story.
What happened to Garfield? Why did he get usurped by, I mean, who took over? The Rugrats? Come on, Garfield was great. I cried in Garfield.
Why?
Come home.
Garfield showed no emotion.
Odie was going to fall into a volcano, and I can remember
bawling. Is Odie
bawling.
The dog?
The dog. Yes. This is all still very fresh to me. Scott, you're being very quiet there.
Is now the time I press the song on?
Didn't you like that?
Oh, it's interesting.
It's an incredible story.
Come on. Garfield phones. France.
I'm going to be honest here. Sometimes when I listen to music, in fact, most times when I listen to music, I'm captivated by the melody. I'm captivated by the music, not necessarily the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I don't know what you're like.
Yes.
Lyrics or
the
sound.
Beat.
Yeah, exactly. Now, something occurred to me in the car with my 5-year-old that he is not like his mother. He listens to lyrics and he listens to them with all of his heart and soul. Oh. The other day, a particular song played through the car speakers and I was just rocking out because it was a bit of a throwback to, I don't know, to the 90s. It's this song.
Oh, classic.
I mean,
ooh, let the dogs out.
It's a good sing-along song. Just, you know, it's fun.
Pump it up.
That's right. I don't stop to think about the lyrics.
It's got a good jam about it.
It really does. We were having fun in the car. All of a sudden, Maxie, my 5-year-old, very seriously said, Mum, who did let the dogs out, though?
Wow.
Rhetoric. I mean,
well, it's not rhetorical. Well, it's literal.
Well, in the song, it's a rhetoric.
Oh,
no one's asking for an answer to that. He's taken it literally. So I said, well, no, they're not really asking. No one needs to know who let the dogs out, but I'll tell you who does need to know. Maxie. He has not let up. Who did it? Who did it, Mum? Who opened the gate? Who let the dogs out?
Why did they let the dogs out?
How many dogs were there?
Did they get the dogs back?
What happened? Are they in the pound? And it keeps going round and round and round. And I don't know whether to encourage the curiosity.
Nah, it's really annoying.
Kill it.
It's annoying. Kill it. I think they're just at that age where they take everything literally. I said to my 5-year-old girl, come on, school, get your skates on. And of course, I don't have skates. Why would I put skates on to go to school? Is it a skating day at school today? No, it's just a saying. Well, why would you say that? Just tell me to put my sneakers on.
You know, it's hard because part of me wants him to listen to me all the time. And the other part of him the other part of me just never wants him to listen to anything because it's too much to explain. I'm tired. I just want the dogs to stay in. I don't want to explain about the canines that have been released from whatever backyard, Maxie. No one cares.
Oh, my God.
Stop being inquisitive.
There is something beautiful in seeing the befuddlement on their faces, though. My eldest was standing in front of the TV the other day and I said, "Darl, you're not made of glass." And she turned around with that weird look on her face, was like, "No, Mum, I'm not." And stayed in position. No, that...
You idiot.
That means I can't see through you. Move aside. And then I played Who Let the Dogs Out, and then we started that whole conversation like Lee's did.
It's Those Two Girls.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
A few months ago, Sarah came to the table and told us about a passion project that she'd secretly been working on, mostly in boardrooms and meetings.
Classrooms. ever since the 90s, really, I feel like I've had a hidden talent.
You have a penchant for people's signatures.
Yes.
So you'll just take someone's name. So if you're looking at me in a meeting, you'll go, geez, if I was called Lise Carlaw, what would my signature look like?
Yes.
And then you go and you scribble and you doodle and you flourish and you create a signature for a complete stranger or someone in your circle.
Yes, and I often present it to them and said, if I was you, this is how I'd sign your name. I don't like your signature.
Yeah.
Try this.
I mean, it's very presumptuous of her, but that's who she is as a person. So, you know, we thought, like, who are we to exterminate her flame of passion projects? Mm-hmm. So I went on air and said this. So I'm going to put the challenge out there to our listeners. If you fancy an alternative to your signature, feel free to drop us a line on our Instagram messaging service. they're called DMs, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah, so we put it out there. We thought, well, let's see. Maybe Sarah's not crazy. Maybe people would like a bit of the magic that is your signature service.
That's right.
And look, it went okay a few months ago. You had a fair few people asking.
Oh, it really did. In fact, I believe I got RSI from the number of signatures that I had to dish out to people. And then I thought, okay, I feel like my cup has been filled.
Yes, you were happy with that. And then we thought, well, that's the end of that.
But then the other day,
we were wrong.
I got a message on our Instagram at Lise and Sarah from a bloke called Nick who said, "Here I am listening to old podcasts and hear about Sarah's free signature service. Oh, that sounds interesting. Now, I'm getting married in a few weeks to my partner and I'm taking his name. I've been thinking on and off, I need to work out how to sign the new name, and here's an opportunity to pick a grown-up signature. If she's still passionate about her hobby, I'd love to take her up on it."
I mean, Nick, you've opened a can of worms.
I am still passionate about my hobby.
I mean, can you believe he went back through the annals of our podcast, through the archive, Sarah, and he found that episode and he said, "This is a woman after my own heart. I need me a signature."
What to do? What to do? Well, there's only one thing, Lise, and we've got Nick on the line.
That's right.
I'm going to need some more information. Nick, what's your middle initial?
Yeah, it's B.
Okay, B.
N-B.
Yeah, B for Benjamin.
Okay.
Yes. Is that what it is?
No, don't tell us. Yeah. Don't tell us in case there's somebody ready to
swipe your identity.
Yep.
Okay. So we're looking at an N
and a
Sarah,
B. And
a B.
Then your new surname will be...
Yes. Carmichael.
I mean, it's beautiful name. It fills me with so much excitement because there's so many potential flourishes that I can put in there. Are you a flourishy type bloke or do you want something no nonsense?
What you do when you're like 7 years old or whatever is very intricate, nice and cursive. Not so good when you're an accountant and you're signing lots of things. But it turns into a bit of a scrawl.
So you are an accountant?
Yeah.
So you're looking for something shorter than... Is that right?
Or do something, I would like something nice, but not something where I've got to sound out every letter, which I currently have to do.
Look, I've been getting a feel for you like a psychic as we talk, Nick.
She's getting very excited.
I've pulled out an old receipt from my purse and I am coming
scribbling.
Up with some options. And I think what you need is just an elongated surname that's almost like a line with just the L at the end. That's what I think you need.
Yeah.
I mean, what she's going to do for you, Nick, is she's going to keep working on this, fine-tune it. Then she will take a photograph. She'll give you options A, B, and C Okay, yep, from yep. there, we will send that to you on Instagram. From there, you can make a selection.
That's right.
Yep.
And live happily ever after with your brand new signature. Happy wedding day in
yes.
a few weeks' time.
Congratulations. Yep.
Happy new Thank signature
you.
Day.
Lovely.
If you want to drop us a line and say hi on Instagram, at Liz and Sarah is where you can find us.
Last night, I had a hankering for takeaway. I just couldn't be bothered being in the kitchen and cooking dinner last night. So I thought, you know what I feel like? I feel like something a little bit spicy, something with a bit of oomph. And I thought, I think peri peri chicken will fit the bill.
Okay.
So I rocked up to a popular chain and I placed my order for peri peri chicken. And okay. I forgot to say what level of chilliness, yes. hotness, burn.
Because they have
I
a
wanted.
Little thermometer scale.
Yeah, you know what
don't
I'm talking
they?
About.
The
They're
green.
In all of those chains.
Yes. There's the yellow, the green is nice and mild and tangy, then the red is super spicy.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
So I've placed my order and then the cashier looked at me and said, "You'll be wanting the mild, won't you?" And I mean, I did want the mild, but I felt so judged. Do I not look tough enough to handle a strong spice?
Or, look, I might be throwing a spanner in the works here. Or is it cultural appropriation?
Wow.
Well, have they taken one look at this here girl,
this lily livid, pale,
this suburban mother,
cadaver-esque glory.
Have they taken one look at you, judged you on your lifestyle, and just said she's a mild gal through and through? She will not want anything remotely hot and spicy.
I mean, they were right.
They were right.
But it annoys me because then I felt like I'm going to order the medium just to show you.
You don't want to do that. I'm going to tell you why you don't want to do that, Sarah. I have a story about my father.
Of course you do.
Doing that exact same thing. When we were teenagers, we went to an Indian restaurant on a weekend with my parents. And my father's a robust Frenchman, okay? Mm. He knows flavour. He knows garlic. He knows champagne. He knows snails. He likes a solid flavour hit. Now, when he was asked at the Indian restaurant what he would like on the dish, he chose a very spicy dish. I can't remember which one, but he said to the server, he said, "I want you to give me Indian hot, not Aussie hot." And the Indian server said, "Yes, yes, yes," sort of very dismissively because he was like, "That's what everybody says." And Dad said, "No." He looked him straight in the eyes and he said, "No, I want Indian hot. I want what you would serve to one of your cousins. I want that on my plate."
Yep. So the real so deal, they went the real back. Authentic experience.
He wanted it all. He said, "I can do it." They went back to the kitchen and I could see the chefs and the sous chefs in the back of the kitchen poke their head through the little cubby door where they can look into the dining room as my father was served his true Indian heat dish.
I feel nervous and because the mild peri peri chicken still brought tears to my eyes,
no,
so I'm nervous.
I have never in my life seen my father suffer the way he suffered on that fateful Saturday night. He was sweating. He was so red. My mother was like, "Jacques, you're going to explode." He was coughing. I thought he was like having some sort of shock reaction. His esophagus was closing up. His eyes were bugging out and he ate that dish and he kept on looking back at the Indian chef through that and they couldn't believe their eyes. And I swear they probably put a plaque of his name up in the restaurant.
A lot of those Indian restaurants, there's one in Brisbane that, like, they live for people to go in and go Indian hot. And they're like, "All right, okay,
do you think
here we
should,
go.
What if we
no.
did it? What if we did it?"
Sarah, and do you know what I learned on that night? I remember my uncle was there with us and he said, "Jacques, grab Lisa's ponytail and bite down on it."
Why?
Because
Good
when
grief.
Okay, when
you have an odd family,
what the heck is happening?
When okay, you know when something's spicy, people are like, "Quick, give me the water." Wrong, wrong. Water inflames the situation. Never drink
Does
water.
It? I
if
always thought it was milk.
Is spicy? No, you need something neutral. You need something that'll absorb the spice and the heat. Hair apparently will do that.
You know, I had a friend who grew chilies in his back garden. This was when I was in my late teens and he was cutting the chilies up for dinner and he didn't wash his hands properly when he went to the toilet.
Oh my God.
He came out and his flatmates said all of a sudden they turned around and there he was with his ding-a-ling in a glass of milk crying.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
And this is a game that we like to call...
Movie.
It did really feel like Lee's forgot how we start this game.
I thought we'd prepared that in a proper... sound booth, and it was recorded for all eternity.
Nope. It is live and local.
Didn't realise it was a live performance. I hadn't prepared my vocal cords. Okay, it's our favourite game. It's only the second week we've played it.
Yes.
It's a game where Scotty is going to play us a random, non-iconic scene from a movie.
From a fairly iconic movie.
Yes, but the scene itself is not the standout scene. It's okay, a random one.
Let me just reduce the word count there. It's an obscure scene. From a famous movie.
Yeah,
thank you. We have to guess the movie.
That's it.
That's it.
Lee's is currently leading.
I am.
First person in with the correct answer gets the point. And then it's like a best of three game.
All right.
But occasionally you guys manage to have to go to tiebreakers in best of three.
And as our producers said, there are no losers in this, except you, the listeners.
Gosh, it's so true. Movie number one. Here's the scene, which goes for 3 minutes and 28 seconds.
The hell are you doing to my car?
Hey, beat it, spook. This don't concern you.
It's from the 80s, like 85.
Hecklewood. Hey, listen, guys. Look, I don't want to mess with no reefer.
I know
acts,
that
okay?
voice.
It had two sequels, this movie, actually.
I'm going to go Back to the Future. Oh, my God!
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
But
right,
you didn't.
I'm back.
I didn't.
All right. Are you ready
I'm
for...
I'm back and I'm here to stay.
Scene number two.
Yeah.
First person to guess the movie that this 2 minute 34 scene is from.
My lord, we found it. Well, then what are you waiting for? Bring it in.
It's from 01, by the way.
01.
Yeah, it's that guy who played the alien. He was a conehead. He was, you know, you can picture him.
Coneheads.
Magic mirror.
Don't tell him anything.
Wasn't that a movie? Why did you say Coneheads then?
No, because I said it was the mirror, actor mirror who played like that.
Dan
voice.
Aykroyd.
No, not Dan Aykroyd. The
Isn't
old
Dan
guy.
Aykroyd in Coneheads?
No, it's not Dan Aykroyd. It's that old guy with the grey hair. I think he was in that 70s show or something.
Can I just clarify? Did you think that Sarah gave you the answer?
Did.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make it more engaging to the listener because they're probably turning over.
Because you did get really annoyed when you didn't get it right.
Okay. It's now a tiebreak.
Oh, my God. We're up to the tiebreaker.
Well, it's best of three. This isn't a tiebreaker.
Oh,
this
no,
is just the third
just,
question.
Okay, this is how games are played.
Okay. That's right.
Okay. You got to name the movie that this 1 minute 34 scene is from.
I've just decided to switch our Friday schedule to Monday, which means that the tests we take each Friday on what we learn during the week will now take place on Monday before we've learned.
This is an oldie.
But since today is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest.
1971.
What? We weren't even born.
It's today based we are going to learn on a book whose author
percentages.
Sarah once
example,
stole work
let's
from.
Take the recent
Matilda! No, that's
her answer.
That wasn't 1971 at all.
Sarah, it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Of course it is.
Sarah wins.
Oh, we're back on an even keel,
all right,
Lizzie.
It's one all.
Yes.
Guys, it's much harder than it seems.
It actually
really
is because
is.
You're real. You know, I mean, they're listening. They know you're really trying to.
Well,
put the voices to the actors and then go through their back catalogue like you're an IMDb database.
That's right.
Woo! But today I am the victorious one. And Lee's is looking like Eeyore, who's a character from Winnie the Pooh, also made into a movie. Let's do that one next week.
No, Sarah, that's not how it works.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Okay, so in that, I make the reference to it's a movie by an author that Sarah plagiarised.
When I was 11.
Which is Roald Dahl. Yeah.
One of the greats. My favourite author of all time.
The only one who comes close to him now in children's books for this generation is David Walliams. But anyway,
that's a side note. Roald Dahl
was it. Is still it.
Yeah.
And it is
Aaron
the best.
Just said...
Is it... he was surprised that we said he. He thought, well, what, you'd never given any thought you that Roald Dahl was male or female?
Yeah, jump on that mic there.
I've never thought about it, to be honest.
But so have you never read a Roald Dahl? You're a smart
okay,
bloke.
Well, just
how have you
Matilda.
Watched the movie?
Okay, never
the
read
twits.
The book.
Never heard of it.
BFG.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Watched the movies?
The BFG.
I don't do fiction.
Danny the Champion of the World.
Don't like
the
fiction.
The Magic
James
Finger.
James and the Giant Peach.
Wait, when did you stop reading fiction? I've never liked fiction because I don't like having to paint the picture in my head. Like, I want the picture painted.
What a lazy sod.
Well, so did you like picture books? Yeah.
But you're very factual, so you just like what, non-fiction?
So you like autobiography.
I'd like to read to learn. So I like a novelised non-fiction.
Okay. So like a
true crime stories.
Yeah. Or a mystery book.
Or something on the Bermuda Triangle, perhaps.
Okay, so for example, there's a fellow by the name of Edward Rutherford who writes like the entire history of a city, but it's like through a novelized version. So it'll be like, it'll be following one person, one group of people through the history of a city developing over a few centuries. That kind of thing you like.
That sounds like a bit of fun if I'm learning something.
Oh, that sounds
that,
like...
Oh, I just fell asleep.
Wow. I didn't even... Oh, that's not reading for fun. That's
let's
like getting a textbook
Aaron
out.
Read the BFG.
Like, do you read
I
Grey's Anatomy for fun? That's like the medical book. The medical.
The TV show.
That's a TV show, Sarah.
But that's actually what it's called, isn't it?
The, yeah, the that's Grey's why. Anatomy. That's why it's a play on.
Yeah.
You get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I
do
get
you
it.
Though? I don't
but
know.
But I
if
just
you
want
do.
Him to read the BFG so we can discuss Snoz Cumbers.
Yes.
That there's a
well,
lot of learning in that.
Because Roald Dahl made up words. Like, that was part of his genius.
Why is that genius?
Because
I can
it's
make
just,
up a word right now.
No, because it was like Shakespeare and Roald Dahl. That's
bloody
it.
Bloody schnazwazza.
Okay.
But
you know
just
what?
Wrecked it for
that's,
me.
That's actually the perfect high to end on your schnazwanger.
Not wanger. He said schnazwazza. What did you say actually
schnazwazza.
Say? What is a schnazwazza?
Schnazwazza what?
Bye.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.